This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker, who rips it down inside the 25-yard line.
A 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into Hour 2 of the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7, The Ticket. The noon hour of this fine program means it's lunchtime, ladies and gentlemen. The lunch hour of the Adam Carriker Show on The Ticket is sponsored by our friends at Mulberry Barbecue. Now with two locations at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, right off Highway 2 by Lowe's. Both locations are open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Try their bird end sandwich, a brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, a full slab of ribs, plus much, much more in incredible size. Get fueled for lunch today or make dinner plans at Mulberry Barbecue, located at 11th and Cornhusker, and at 61st and Apples Away, just off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. Again, we will be having another on-location show here in the very near future. Keep your eyes peeled for that. All right, we got a whole bunch of clips. We're going to roll here throughout this segment. We're trying to get through four of them. Go ahead and roll that first one there, Jake.
Michigan beat Nebraska. Allegedly, it was a close game, 30-27. It was not a close game. I give this game 3 chalai on the 1-5 scale. There was a Hail Mary at halftime yesterday. So anytime you get that in a game, happened right in front of us. Anytime we can get that in a game, that's entertaining. It was close. It was a very, very raucous environment there at Memorial Stadium. This is their 28th straight loss versus a ranked team. Just not great.
All right, so that's how good old Josh Page started his Nebraska versus Michigan reaction. Like, that's literally the first whatever it is, 15 to 20 seconds. Okay, 0 for 28, heard that a million times versus ranked teams. So let's move on past that, because that he is indeed correct. That is just not great. This game was not even close. He pretty much feels like this game wasn't even close, despite what the score said. Agree? Disagree? What are your thoughts here on that, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, it's a take we've seen from a lot of different people. It's kind of interesting. I know Dave Portnoy called Nebraska high school team, so there's a lot of different takes out of coming from that. That despite being on Matt Rhule's podcast last week, so he'll definitely say what's on his mind.
Can we pause? I'm sorry. Yeah. So, Fox, their pregame show, their answer to Pat McAfee on ESPN is Dave Portnoy. Okay, fine. I actually don't hate him in his lane of Barstool. Okay, he's built a monster. He's the guy that pretty much was the spearhead of building it. I cannot stand him on the Fox pregame show. He is obnoxious. He is trying to be too much one way or the other. There's no objectivity. There's no actual knowledge. There's no actual analysis. There's no breakdown. There's not a lot of, I'm not saying he's not an intelligent guy. He built Barstool, but there's not a lot of intelligence behind what he's saying when it pertains to college football. Like, people know there's a lot of WWE that comes out of me, but it just comes out naturally because I watch WWE. Tony Robbins is phenomenal. I have watched like 10 seconds of Tony Robbins and thousands of hours of Austin and Cena and The Rock cutting a promo. It just comes out in me naturally. I feel like Portnoy is trying to compete directly with McAfee and going way over the top. And I feel like he's just ridiculously obnoxious. And he is single-handedly the reason I will not watch the Fox pregame show. And then he goes on Rhule's podcast. This is before any of that on Thursday. Then he goes on Rhule's podcast. He's actually like a halfway decent person. And then the real Dave Portnoy emerges in this Instagram reel. We're a high school team. And he said other things. Just there, it wasn't even, I don't always use proper English, but it was just like a little kid learning how to just speak for the first time when he was trying to insult Nebraska type English. Am I the only one that feels this way? And then to go on Rhule's podcast and then just completely bury Nebraska. Like, you got to be objective and unbiased, but am I the only one that feels like this dude is not going to be here doing this time next year? And he'll pick it up just fine somewhere else. He's successful. He won't bat an eye. He'll go back to going to pizzerias and giving pizza analysis and, you know, doing whatever he does on Barstool nowadays. But I personally, I never wished anyone to get fired, but I like other people on the Fox pregame show. I will literally turn it off as soon as he's on the screen, and I hope they find someone else in his spot for next year. Is that just me? Like, seriously.
I think the state of Nebraska probably doesn't like him too much, but it's kind of interesting the way he does. I mean, his debut there, I think he went out to the Ohio State crowd, started talking trash to him. Sometimes I think it can be entertaining. Obviously, Barstool is not really known for breaking down games and, you know, statistically and X's and O's and all that. So I think he's, you know, he's always going to be on the entertainment side. And like you said, I think it's kind of the response to College Game Day and Pat McAfee. It just depends on your type. Again, that's not what really gets me going and excited for college football. But again, he's built a brand for it and made it work. So it is what it is. I did find that pretty disrespectful that you go on his podcast and then come out and say that they're a high school team. And you know, again, but I mean, it all kind of wraps into that question of, was this game close? And I think that there were a few plays that could have gone Michigan's way that would have made this game a lot, you know, further away. There are a few plays that could have gone Nebraska's way that could have made this game Nebraska winning by double digits. So I don't really, it was a crazy wild game. A lot of different things going on. I think a lot of people are going to point to the Hail Mary as the part of the reason why it was close. But like, as you mentioned, Dylan could have had four touchdown passes if Hunter didn't step out of bounds, which is the next question is the red end zones with the red backdrop of the end zone at any fault there.
Okay. Final thoughts on Portnoy. And then we can dive into that. For me, I've seen enough of him to know how he typically is. I don't follow him all the time, but I've seen enough. I feel like he's forcing it. Like he's trying to be something even beyond what he normally is. That's why I said things just come out of me naturally. I don't always, like, if you see me at my kids' sporting events, if I'm not coaching, I'm one of the quietest parents there. And I think it astonishes people. Because that's how I naturally feel. I'm chilling watching my kid. I don't have to. I get to break down Nebraska sports, but I don't have to break anything down. I don't have to coach this particular team like I do other teams that I love doing. I get to just chill and watch my kid because that's naturally how I feel. You put a microphone in front of my face and just everything comes out. It's natural. I feel like he's forcing it. And that, I think that's what's kind of bugging me a little bit. The red end zone, I don't know, man. You can follow up on that. I like how the red end zones look. It's a red end zone for both teams that play on any given Saturday. If you want to spend more time on that, you can. For me, I'll go back to the Hail Mary. Oh, if it wasn't a Hail Mary, they would have ran us right off the field. They dropped two touchdown catches. Okay, we got 0 points, two trips into their red zone on our first two drives. Fourth and three at the 7, they stop us 1 yard short. What if we get to the 4? What happens then? What if we make the field goal that Cunanan's going to make 9 times out of 10? What if Hunter doesn't step out of bounds? It goes both ways. Like it goes both ways. It was a field goal game. Sorry, you got any other thoughts? Just the Portnoy thing. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, not a lot of people are fans of Portnoy on the text line, but there is people that are agreeing that it wasn't a close game.
Okay.
Augie says Michigan's coach in the halftime speech didn't think the game was close. 3763 says it was men against boys in the trenches.
Okay.
So there's some different thoughts there, but no, not a whole lot of Portnoy support on the text.
Good grief, man. All right. I don't even know what the next clip is. Go ahead and roll it. Let's start firing these bad boys out. Whatever you got next there, Jake, whatever's easiest.
All right.
Michigan beat Nebraska. Allegedly, it was a close game, 30-27. It was not a close game. I give this game 3 chalai on the 1-5 scale. There was a Hail Mary at halftime yesterday.
Or is this the one we played? Sorry. There's another one in here.
There you go. Because sure enough, this is what good programs do. I didn't say team for a reason. This is a program thing with Michigan. It's a multi-year, it's an identity. It's a program thing. They come out, and Nebraska in the second half, 0 rushing yards. Michigan retakes the lead by 10, and they kept home field edge at bay. The stadium didn't really matter a whole lot in the second half. Not that it wasn't loud, it just... it never really reached full throat because they never really had a reason to in the second half. And I don't know that people fully understand what kind of psychological toll that takes on the other side. When you have fought and you've crawled over broken glass to find a way somehow to tie that thing. And immediately, it's a two-possession game again. In your home building in the second half. Yeah, it was trying to plug 13 holes with 10 fingers all day for Nebraska. And namely, at offensive tackle, they were powerless. It was just brute force. There's not really a play that you can run. To be honest with you, Dylan Raiola, I don't know where he found 308 passing yards. And that's even accounting for the Hail Mary. I don't remember 308 yards through the air. But he had 308 through the air. 30 of 41. Three touchdowns and a pick. And they had 1.4 yards per carry. So they were not running the ball. Now, that is sack adjusted. But they were not running the ball effectively at all. I mean, Raiola, look, you can pick apart his performance if you want to. I don't know many quarterbacks that thrive in that kind of setting. His offensive tackles were in his lap all day. There were defenders meeting at his position on the field all day. I don't really know many people who are going to thrive in that environment. They're just not ready at the line of scrimmage, which I guess I should have been more aware of about Nebraska, I guess. I hoped, though. I did let a little hope creep in.
So, for those who aren't familiar, Pate was one of the... And to be clear, college football playoff is still mathematically on the table, okay? But before the season, he predicted us to be in the playoff. He was one of the national pundits that did. But if you listen to why he always referred to the elite wide receivers that we had, always, 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 they were underrated, they're going to be elite. He never once addressed us in the trenches, not once. Whether it was good, whether it was bad, his opinion in any way, shape, or form. He's basically saying, I should have paid more attention to the trenches at this point. All right, now, if you look at the second half, because he talked about the second half, here's our drive chart. All right, let's see here. 10 plays, 70 yards, downs. Oh, hold on. This is the whole game. 10 plays, 70 yards, downs. Missed field goal, drive two. Then we had an interception, punt, field goal, touchdown, touchdown. The second half was punt, punt, field goal, punt, touchdown. So to me, I'm like, man, we actually did a few things in the second half offensively. Then you look at Michigan. The game as a whole. 7 of Michigan's carries. I'm just going to repeat this. 7 of Michigan. For once in my life, I'm going to talk slow. 7 of Michigan's carries on Saturday. They didn't have 7 carries, just 7 of them went for 221 yards on those 7 carries. You want to do a yards per carry average on that? No, Jake, don't do it. Don't hurt yourself with that. And 3 touchdowns. Meanwhile, their longest pass play went for 16 yards. That yards per carry. What is 221 divided by 7? Like you got a calculator, don't you? I am just curious. I feel like torturing myself for a second.
31.5.
Oh, why did I do that? Okay. You have any thoughts on that clip? He thought the skill positions were really, really good. I could argue they are. I didn't pay enough attention to the trenches, is what he said. Anything to add?
Well, it's kind of interesting. We did get a text that I think that is interesting throughout that is that clearly Michigan had the advantage in the trenches, yet they only won by 3.
Mm.
Somebody on the text line said, I actually respect Rule and Holgorsen more after that game because as outmatched as they were, they only lost by 3.
Okay. So people have pointed out that we got manhandled at the line of scrimmage. Hopefully we do better in the future. I'm going to make that clear. We got 2 weeks to get better, at least a little bit better. And people can talk about, really, the game wasn't that close. And we played 2 clips where he said that. Both teams left points on the field. Both teams did good things. Both teams made mistakes. It was a 3-point game. It was still a 3-point game. It shows you how improved our special teams are. Because if we have last year's special teams, it might be a 3-possession game. Mm. We won the penalty battle, and we tied in the turnover battle. You know we haven't lost the turnover battle in a game yet this year? Not once. Not once. And we've only lost a penalty battle 1 time out of 4 games. Those things are improved. That's why this game is closer. We have improved quarterback and skill position play offensively and defensively. That's why this game is as close as it was. They're trying to overcome this year's deficiencies, which at this moment in time are up front. Every team has strengths. Every team has things they need to work on. But when it's up front in the Big Ten against Michigan, that's hard. So if people want to act like we got blown out, I'm sorry. The score was what it was. They never, ever led more by 10 at any point in the game. And I said going in, if one team wins this game by 10, that's going to feel like a blowout. So does that just make me right? They were never up by more than 10. Some people think it felt like a blowout, but it was only 3.
I think a lot of it, too, is that the frustration. I mean, the one drive Nebraska did get going there was because of a personal foul by Michigan. So, again, you point out, but again, there's so many different plays that were swinging drives and different things there. But one thing I do think is interesting, Rick Neuheisel said in his breakdown of the game was that he thought Holgorsen should have kept a lot more tight ends in. Now, that's going to limit what you're going to do as far as downfield passing. But he said, you know, they chipped with the running back once in a while. But it was ineffective.
That's a very good point. Something that occurred to me during the game, and frankly, I have forgotten to point out since the game. Because they talked about chip blocks, which, by the way, as a pass rusher, I hate them. Because you don't know they're coming, and those freaking little running backs are at the perfect height to hit you right in your ribcage, and you don't see it coming. So they suck. But if you're truly getting beat up front, you need to help your O-line. It's a fair point to say that if we were losing the battle up front, and we didn't do a lot beyond the occasional chip blocks to try to help them. That is the schematic thing. That is a fair point. And that is something I have not brought up since. So thank you for pointing that out. All right, let's do one more clip. Then we'll finish the clips in the next segment. We got to get to our picks from last week. And maybe we'll get into Rule's press conference, which just wrapped up a little bit ago today. If not, we will dive into it in full tomorrow. What's the next clip? Surprise me.
This was still Pate talking about how close the game was.
Really. Look, all due respect to Nebraska and the immense respect for the program, Matt Rhule, the fun we had. We were treated like royalty up there. Oh, I appreciate that until the end of time. But the play on the field yesterday has to stand on its own. And I cannot believe the play on the field dictated a score that was this close. They were trying to execute an onside kick, minute and a half left. And I was sitting there telling anyone who could listen, how are we even in a position with how Michigan feels like they...
I picked these clips out, all right, and I'm mad at myself because as I'm listening to them again, did you think it felt like a blowout? Like, he's basically just saying we were lucky to be on the same field with Michigan. Why did I pick these? Like, in my defense, I was doing a bunch of things, and I was listening to this. It was a 10-minute clip from his show. I would listen to, like, 2 minutes, then I'd do something for 10 minutes. 2 minutes, 10 minutes, bad excuse. All he's talking about is how the game wasn't close. How in the world were we within an onside kick? Because they made mistakes. We made mistakes. We did things well. They did things well. They won the game because they are the better team, or at least they were on Saturday. Do we have anything else to add to this?
Well, it is like you look at total yards even, which often can be a metric. They only had, 44 more total yards than Nebraska? I get it. I mean, the big plays make you feel in some opportunities. Certainly the Hail Mary, I think it factors into it. Michigan probably does feel like they could have won that by more. And, I mean, again, we can be honest about it too. Usually play a little bit of a different defense. Would Michigan's standard defense have given up that final touchdown? Maybe not. By the way, didn't love Dylan Riley and Heinrich Harburg celebrating that, you know, knowing they need an onside kick for a chance to win. But that is what it is. But, you know, so... I can get it, you know, if I'm Michigan, I probably feel like I probably should have won that game by more. But again, it's not a matter of, again, was Michigan a better football team or better in the trenches? It's what Nebraska was able to do despite that fact to keep it close, I think. So, it depends on what angle you want to look at it from.
The concern is the issues on Saturday. Are they going to prohibit us from winning as many games in the future as we otherwise could based on how good the rest of our team is? It's not that we got blown out. We didn't get blown out. I said going in, if somebody wins by 10, it's going to feel like a blowout because this is going to be a dog fight and a rock fight. And it was. It was actually way more exciting than I thought it would be, which I was very – both teams played inspired football. We're going to go through the stats real quick. Time of possession, 33 and change for Nebraska, 25 and change for Michigan. They ran 55 plays. We ran 73. We had, where's first downs? I just looked at it. We had 24. They had 16. Now, let's be fair. Part of this is the explosive plays they had. You don't have to run as many if you're getting big plays. But I think that skews the perception. Explosive plays are more impressive. Let me ask you a question. I've talked about this during the winter when slam dunk competition was going on. If a short guy dunks the ball and a tall guy dunks the ball, did they both dunk the ball?
Yep.
Which one's more visually impressive, though?
A short guy.
But they both dunked the ball. Michigan's the better team right now. We can't argue that. But I think there are some optics that are misleading. All right, we got to get better. Total yards, to your point, 371 good guys, 393 the other guys. We obviously had a huge edge in passing yards. They had a huge edge in rushing yards. Penalties, we won. Turnovers, we were tied. Sacks allowed. Good Lord, let's not talk about that. It's the visually impressive things where they dominated, but it's not like they dominated the game. We need to get better because the areas that we are not great at right now are the, I could argue, the key areas if you're going to try to win Big Ten games. And I'm not concerned that we did or didn't get blown out. I'm concerned with how much improvement can we make before we play Michigan State, at Maryland, at Minnesota, et cetera. Is that fair or not?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, we got one more clip. I have no recollection of what's in it, so that ought to be fun. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, football fans. Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.